Blog Talk Radio. Welcome, football fans, to another edition of the Neek and Rudy Pro Football Talk Show. I am your host, Neek. In the studio with me is my good friend, friend to the end for about 35 years, Rudy Rude. What's going on, man?
Brother, I'm not that old. I know you may think we've been cool that long, but look, I'm 29. So, hey, man, look, we're here to talk about some good old professional NFL football. While we were talking before the show, as we always do, man, I said I think that the Dolphins might start playing some of that this week. I'm not sure if that's coming, but we'll get to that before too long. But Neek, I do want to get right into this news. So before we do that, Neek, is there anything that stood out to you about this season so far? Anything you got to interject?
Well, other than the fact that my Giants actually just showed the world, I can't buy into the hype yet, but Daniel Jones looked good last week. The one thing I do want to say, I know it's early in the season, but there's been a lot of awful play calling by some coaches. Root, I know you're a diehard Browns fan. You'll talk about that in a little bit. Last night, we're going to touch on that game as well. But for the Raiders, man, that's my other team. I don't understand why Josh Jacobs not getting the ball enough. So, like I said, we got 45 minutes of this show, a lot to talk about. But fans, thank you for tuning in. We get new fans every week. You guys, listen to the number to call us in on. 845, that's the area code. 845-241-9980. Feel free to call in. Tell us what's on your mind. Talk about your team. We'll get right to it. All right, but this week, week four, Rudy Rude, you want to recap, break down the news, what's going on?
Yeah, absolutely, man. So not only are we going to, you know, go into the week three results, talk about the week four, you know, predictions, but, you know, we got to touch on some of this news, mainly what we do in the news, cover these injuries, some of the off-field, you know, things that are going on. So let's get right into it. Carolina QB Cam Newton, we knew that he was out. Kyle Allen balled out last week. We'll go over that a little bit more. But Cam Newton has like a Lisp Frank injury in his foot. Not Anne Frank, not the chick that wrote the diaries from Germany, but Liz Frank. So he's out for at least 6 weeks. To be honest with you, Neek, Cam Newton could end up being out the rest of the year. Kyle Allen plays well. Me and you both know that. Kyle Allen guy has a lot of talent. Obviously competed with, for example, Kyler Murray. Heads up to him. So we'll see when Cam Newton comes back, but he's going to be going for at least a month and a half. Don't expect to see him really before December at this point. Saquon Barkley, you know, the Giants will want to get Saquon back as quickly as possible. We touched on last week, you know, that Daniel Jones going in this first start for Neek's Giants. Saquon Barkley, though, did, you know, injure his ankle. So it seems like it's probably more of like a high ankle sprain because he's going to be going up for at least 6 weeks as well. I believe he had to have some kind of surgery just to confirm me. And then also something that went under the radar, Pittsburgh, I think they're going to be dealing with the injury to their tight end that they had brought in. And so the Steelers did trade for Kyle Van Ness. So they acquired Kyle Van Ness from the Steelers. And again, this Pittsburgh deals with some injuries offensively and just ineptitude offensively as well. But another thing that happened just, you know, within the last day or so, J-Lo and Shakira will be doing the Super Bowl halftime show. Before I run down these scores, Neek, and I'll go into these extras real quick. I'll go into these extras. I did want to come back and ask you about J-Lo and Shakira because I know you are a musical savant, Neek. But with the some of the other things in the news, the league was going to do 18 games, proposed to do that, cut down the preseason, but the league is now proposing 17 games in the upcoming CBA. Melvin Gordon is going to return from his holdout. We don't know what it hasn't really been released. to what, you know, they will do as far as waiving the, you know, his fines from his holdout. You know, it's about $1 million or so that he's being fined for missing the first 3 weeks of the regular season and also the preseason. Jay Gruden is reportedly going to be fired by the Redskins if they don't beat the Giants this weekend. We'll get into previewing that game, but just know that at this point, you know, with Case Keenum struggling, having 5 turnovers in the last game, again, spoiler alert, I'm thinking that they probably need to go ahead and start the rookie Haskins, but they're not going to do that. Nick, I wanted to ask you, again, being a musical guy, a talented man of yourself, an artist, if you would, I wanted to say, are you a J-Lo fan or a Shakira fan?
I can't believe you asked me that, man. I don't listen to J-Lo. I don't listen to no damn Shakira. I don't give a damn if she's J-Lo from the block. I do like old J-Lo, Fly Girl J-Lo from In Living Color. Yes, yes, the original J-Lo back then. Now, J-Lo still is good, 50 years old, don't get me wrong.
You like her music?
Music, like I said, when she was during the P. Diddy days, early 2000s, music wasn't too bad. It was decent. She had a few cuts. Shakira, don't know nothing about her music. I'm not really a fan of either. But with that being said, no, that's not Shakira. Let's Get Dirty. No, that's Christina Aguilera. Christina Aguilera.
Yeah,
that's
not
like Shakira,
man. I don't like
Shakira. So anyway, Rude, like I said, since we're wasting a minute on this, I will be watching them the Super Bowl halftime show because J-Lo can't dance. So I'm looking for the dance moves.
All right, well, I'm going to run down these scores, Neek. So, you know, and now that I know that Shakira and Christina Aguilera aren't the same person. But that would make a good night, though. Fellas, y'all feel me. Week 3, let's break it down. So Thursday night, we already went over that. That's old news at this point. But Monday, you know, the Patriots, they did beat the Jets 30-14. Didn't just blast them like, you know, some may have expected, but a win is a win. Buffalo barely edging by Cincinnati. Cincinnati was game in this one. Buffalo still undefeated on the year. Dallas whooped up on Miami 31-6. Green Bay 27-16 over Denver. And then you got Indy 27-24 over Atlanta. The Kansas City Chiefs and Mahomes is still excellent. Flawless victories. So he is 3-0, finding new targets and new friends. And again, KC beat Baltimore, possibly the game of the week there, 33-28. Minnesota whooped up on the Oakland Raiders, and the Oakland Raiders just do not seem like they are going to get on the right track this year, as Derek Carr seems like regressed in his progressions or in his ability to be able to keep Oakland competitive. That did not happen this past week, but Detroit is a team that we thought might be struggling quite a bit and not be very good, bringing up the bottom of the NFC North division. But at this point, they're undefeated. Now, people might not be giving them credit for being undefeated because they had a tie. Detroit's 2-0-1 after beating Philadelphia 27-24 on the road, and Detroit's got a tough test we'll talk about later in the show coming up in week 4. Carolina beat Arizona 38-20, and that was Kyle Allen's first start there for the Panthers, and he played very well. We may get to a chance to tell you about Kyle Allen's performance as we go into the predictions for next week. But I would say it's fair to say that he outplayed the rookie Kyler Murray, as Kyle Allen himself is a bit of a journeyman. But he performed well, so much so that Cam Newton's, again, injury, you know, estimation has been extended at this point. The Giants beat the Bucks, in big part due to some missed kicks. But in any way, Daniel Jones, in his first start, did get a comeback victory. So that's a good way to start things off after starting off very slowly there. I believe it's 12-0. It got a little bit worse than that. But, you know, again, victory for the Giants, their first of the year, making them 1-2, does give them hope. And that's what everybody wants, at least, isn't it? So Houston, the Texans did defeat the Chargers. So the Chargers were at home, and this one 27-20. Deshaun Watson continues to roll. He's got the Texans off to a good start. The Saints actually in a somewhat surprising victory with Drew Brees out. And this one using Teddy Bridgewater and also the special teams and also the defense and making some plays. New Orleans win this one 33-27. San Francisco had an interesting game where they went against the Steelers 24-20. Jimmy Garoppolo had contributed in large part to the five turnovers that San Francisco had, but they still pulled that one out. The Rams beat the Browns on Sunday night. I'm not even going to do a rant about this one. It's 20-13. Just know that the Browns had its entire secondary out. So the entire starting secondary is out. I'm not going to name the names. You should know who these guys are if you listen to the show enough. Their starting right tackle is out. In addition, starting tight end was out. But the Browns lost this one 20-13 to a team that was in the Super Bowl last year. I can't even rag on them too much about that, but obviously there's some things that I'll probably touch on with Baker and Freddie to get back with them at in a couple minutes. But the Monday Night Football game featured Washington losing their coach. I think basically the team lost their coach. The coach lost the locker room in this game. 31-15, the Bears beat up on the Redskins. But the real thing to me here was that Keenum had five turnovers and that Taylor Gabriel had three touchdowns in the first half alone. So, you know, when it's that kind of dismantling, the Redskins, they added on that 15 to try to make it some window dressing. But they really got demolished in this game. And I like I said from the top of the show, I think it's time for the Redskins to make a change with Gruden. He said he's sticking to Keenum. He had, I'm trying to think if Keenum himself had five turnovers in this game. So that's just ridiculous. I think that, the fact that they drafted a quarterback in the first round, 15th overall, and Dwayne Haskins, it's time to start that man. And Neek, any thoughts on week three before we go into week four?
No, actually, man, good job. when I look at this week, you know, every week on the show, I always got to do my W Gutter Award. And my W Gutter Award stands for who gave up that ass with no Vaseline, just straight, wow, straight up, and then go take it, take it, take it, take it. And on that note, I got to go with the Oakland Raiders secondary, man. I do. I mean, I know when you look at Kirk Cousins' stats from last week, they were decent, solid. It wasn't like he threw for 400 yards or whatever. But Curtis Riley. I'm going to tell you like this. I know Curtis Riley very well in New York. One of the most laziest football players I've ever seen on film. He doesn't want to tackle. Don't even know how to tackle. He just gets beat. I mean, he can't locate the ball. Some of the worst ball awareness skills I've ever seen in my life. And the Raiders said, you know what? what's the saying going? One man's trash is another man's treasure, whatever. But Gruden, man, I don't know if he's getting a little up there in age, that brain. I don't know if he's got some kind of dementia starting to kick in a little bit, man. I mean, you know, the great Al Davis had it towards the end of his tenure because, you know, with the Javon Walker sign and just giving money away to players that have an 80-yard touchdown catch. And now there's, speed. He got to be a Raider. But, yeah, this Curtis Riley, I'm telling you, terrible. And the Raiders, you need to cut bait with him. Because he's going to make more boneheaded plays, and you guys are going to be talking about him. Like, man, what's wrong with the secondaries? Curtis Riley. I thought the Raiders had safeties. Curtis Riley. So on that note, Curtis Riley, the W Gold Award for week three goes to you from Neek. No Vaseline. Gave up that ass. All right. Anyway, week four, last night's game was the Packers versus the Eagles. And going into this game, Rudy and I, we both thought that the Eagles on the defensive side of the ball, they were banged up, especially in the secondary. Aaron Rodgers went right at that secondary first couple plays. Devontae Adams had a record day last night, 8 catches, like 158 yards, something like that. But the Eagles are also shorthanded at the receiver position. And you got to give it to the Eagles. They came out, they hung in there with the Packers. I mean, there was a lot of questionable decision by Matt LaFleur, the Packers coach. They couldn't punch it in the end zone. And you would think with Aaron Rodgers, you can't get the ball in the end zone with all those playmakers. And Jimmy Graham, come on, man. Quit trying to make these one-headed catches, man. This ain't you, man, at this stage in career. Come on, Jimmy Graham, man. Just catch the ball with two hands, man. Be that dominant tight end that they thought you could be. But Jimmy Graham just ain't showing up, whatever. But on that note, Eagles looked very well last night, ran the ball very well, played well, and they got them a victory. They went in and stole this game. Eagles won. Rue, you got anything to say about the game?
Yeah, just the fact that, you know, like you kind of mentioned, I think that, you know, the Packers were playing around in this one, man. They had four plays at the one-yard line and didn't run it one time. Now, I realize, don't get me wrong, Aaron Jones was struggling, you know, in the run game. He didn't perform well. And then, was it Jamal Williams? I believe he was out for the Packers. You know, he went out with an injury. But, man, I don't care if it's Aaron Rodgers. It's the same thing that the Browns did on Sunday night. Run the freaking ball when you get in the red zone, please. As a former coach myself, as a football fan, I'm like, bro, if you are in the red zone and you don't have no backs in the backfield, you going empty or you doing anything foolish like that, not thinking about running, run a play action. How can you run a play action if you have no backs? What are you doing? When you're doing things like this, you're trying to be too cute, running RPOs. Stop running RPOs on the goal line. Just run it. What's the PO for? It's like C-3PO. And so you just need to run. Basically, you just need to run the ball in those situations. Now, I can understand not running the ball all four times. Like, if you get stuffed once, maybe you don't come run it the second time. But, man, you got to try. Browns, Packers, run the ball in the red zone from the 1 and the 4 yard line at least once. I'm done.
All right.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Real quick, too. Aaron Rodgers had 422 passing yards, so he's still like the GOAT passer in the league right now. Carson Wentz only had 160 passing yards. Obviously, he won this game. The Eagles won 34-27, but Carson Wentz did throw three touchdowns. How about Jordan Howard? This is my man. Before the game, if you had asked me who wins this game, I would have said it's such a closely matched game because Carson Wentz playing on top of his game, Aaron Rodgers playing on top of his game. It's going to be about who runs the ball better. Well, the Eagles ran the ball better. Miles Sanders, Jordan Howard. Jordan Howard had four touchdowns, three touchdowns rushing, and one receiving in the game. So, you know, excellent game from Jordan Howard. That's coming out. He said, I'm coming out, coming.
All right, Rue, good job, man. All right. Week 4, let's get into these games for this upcoming week. First on the slate on our schedule, we have the Titans at the Falcons. Let me put it like this. I cannot figure out these Falcons. I mean, it just doesn't make sense. You have pretty much one of the best receiver corps in the game, and Matt Ryan is just turning the ball over. He's kind of looking, playing like Derek Carr a little bit. Seems like he's losing his confidence and his arm and his ability to make precise, efficient throws. And it's just kind of mind-boggling. And I know the Falcons are home in this game, but the Titans, they were embarrassed last week. I know my boy Taylor Lewan, he'll be back next week. Hopefully the offensive line can get it together. I know Vrabel probably lit a fire into this offensive line ass this past week because they got just embarrassed for 9 sacks against those Jacksonville Jaguars. So the Titans' keys got to play physical up front. Pound Henry. Henry, this game should have 30-plus carries. Falcons did lose safety Keanu Neal. He's out for the season towards ACL once again. Sorry for you, man. Get well, brother. Keys for the Falcons, no turnovers. Matt Ryan, no turnovers, man. You're supposed to be Matty Ice, not Matty turnover prone, man. Come on, man. Get it together and get the ball to your playmakers. Calvin Ridley. How is Calvin Ridley only going to have one catch going into the fourth quarter? I mean, that's pretty embarrassing. I don't understand that. I don't know what's going on with the play calling over there. But the matchup I'm looking for this game is my boy Julio Jones versus Malcolm Butler. That should be a solid matchup to watch. Mismatching this game, Titans front seven against that Falcons O-line. I think they're going to beat them up this game. Payback's a bitch this week. And on that being said, on that note, I'm going with the Titans in this game. Still going on the road 27-20.
Damn, bro, we like twin brains over here, bro, because I was just thinking the same thing, man. You know, I really think that, you know, Matt Ryan's been struggling. I'm like, I can't see the Falcons going 1-3. You know, they're 1-2 right now, and I just think the Falcons are a good team. But, you know, Matt Ryan ain't been on the same page with his receivers. Like you were saying, Keanu Neal, he's done for the year, bro. So, I mean, at this point, I'm just like, man, is that confirmed Keanu Neal done for the year? Okay, Titans, man, I feel like they should be hungry. Like, they went out and really embarrassed themselves. They really shit the bed as far as their position and, you know, the division. Not piss the bed, Nick, they shit the bed against the Jaguars. What? They shit the bed. What? Are you trying to tell me not to say that? I'm just Have you ever sat in the bay? No, but you know, and so that's what they did against the Jaguars last week. So I think the Titans are going to be hungry, man. And I got basically the same score you had. I don't know why I said all that just to say that. I think Derrick Henry's going to get back to his old hungry ways, you know, and just kind of, you know, control the line of scrimmage. Mariota's going to be the ultimate game manager, ball controller. And I got the Titans winning this one 26-20. I'm going to go ahead and transition in, Nick, to the next game, Cleveland at Baltimore. Nick, I guess I'll go ahead and take the lead on this one. There's a lot of keys to this game, Nick. Let me go ahead and time myself here so I don't just rant on for, like, days and such. But for the Browns, you know, offensively, what I've been noticing for the Browns, I think I have a large enough sample size to make some assumptions and some deductions. I'm going to try to take about a minute or so with the Browns. A minute or so with the Ravens. For the Browns, our defensive ends aren't fast enough to keep up with Lamar Jackson and keep him in the pocket. Myles Garrett is an awesome beast. I can't remember 6.5 sacks. He's probably second in the league right now in sacks. He's going to be a force to deal with. Obviously, the other way, Olivier Vernon, he's been getting some pressure. Hasn't got any sacks. Hasn't got many tackles. Wasn't a great acquisition for the Browns. But these are some of the things. That's one of the most important matchups I see is the Browns' defense against Lamar Jackson. If they can read their keys, if they can be a good defense. Offensively for the Browns, time to go to that 12 personnel. You have to control the ball. 11 personnel is not good enough. You can't go three wide. We don't know if Rashard Higgins is going to be back. Callaway is not going to be back till week 5. Stop being pretty. Stop being cute. Run the ball. It's time for Chubb to get 25 carries. But really, it's time for Chubb to get those carries in the second half. You use the run to set up the pass. That's what you do. Be consistent on first and second down and running the ball. Give Chubb carries. Give Landry carries. Hey, man, do fly sweeps. You know what I'm saying? Give Odell Beckham a carry. Run more screens. Screens to the receivers. Screens to, you know, Chubb. Design screens. Maybe even run a QB draw. Let Baker get used to running the ball for positive yardage against a guy that can definitely run the ball for positive yardage in Lamar Jackson and make his offense unstoppable if he does that. That's on the other side what Baltimore has to do. Lamar Jackson came out and had a quote that he does not want to run. When you run a 4-3-4-4, you are representing guys that look like me and you, you know, that ran around on the streets. You know what I'm saying? Not in backyards or big fields and just ran. You know what I'm saying? So Lamar Jackson, that's one of the reasons why I love you. Now, in this game, you know, obviously I want the Browns to win, but one part of me always likes Lamar Jackson. So now when I'm hearing that talk about Lamar Jackson, how he's developed his passing, he struggled a little bit last week throwing for about 50%. As far as passing, he's been doing better than Baker this year, but Baker, let's not question ourselves. He's a better passer, but Lamar is no question, a better runner. It's not even close. There's not even a comparison. It's like an adult against a little kid. It's like a professional up against, you know, JV or elementary when it comes to running. They're closer when it comes to passing, but it'll never be that close. Baker could throw dimes. He was Danny Dimes for Danny Dimes and Danny Dimes. Big thing here is all I'm trying to say is Lamar Jackson, if you be yourself, you give your team the best chance to win. That's 20 attempts, you know, passing, running the ball outstanding, and getting past those defensive ends. They're not as fast as you. Cleveland, if you want to win, 12 personnel, which means Ricky Seals-Jones, which means not only Demetrius Harris, but then also, you know, what I would say is third tight end. But now we're being rushed here. It's running the ball consistently. I would say like 36 attempts for Baker, 25 attempts or so for Chubb, and then if you can get something out of Hilliard, great. I've been telling you, man, it's all about Callaway and Higgins right now, the reason why this offense is struggling. If they're going to run 11 personnel, they have to use those guys. I'm sorry, Nick, but Cleveland's only averaged 16 points a game this year. They need to hear my rant about why the offense is producing like it should be.
Yeah, I mean, good job. I mean, of course you're going to go overboard because it's your Browns. But the bottom line is Browns got to keep Lamar Jackson in the pocket. You got to force him to throw the ball. That's just the bottom line rule. That's the bottom line. That's the bottom line. That's the bottom line. That's all you got to do. And for Mayfield, he needs to be sharp with his passes. He needs to be on point. You know, you should move around Odell quite a bit. You know, move him in the slot. Move around best as you can. Get some mismatches going. The matchup I'm looking for in this game, Odell versus Marlon Humphrey. That's going to be a good, solid matchup right there. mismatch in this game. Browns O-line versus that Ravens front seven, man. I mean, let's just be real. That Ravens front seven is going to get after Mayfield, going to keep him flustered. And I think Mayfield probably might, might throw a couple picks on the road in this game. But being said, I'm going to go with the Browns in this game on the road, 27-23. All right. Patriots.
I had Baltimore win this one, 23-17. I'm sorry about this. I think because both teams are 3-0 on this next matchup, this might be the game of the week, too.
Nah, there's no game of the week. Patriots at the Bills. Bottom line is this. Belichick has a week to prepare for Josh Allen. Who is Josh Allen? Josh Allen is bootleg, rollout, play action. That's it. That's all Josh Allen is. Their number one wide receiver is who? Cole Beasley or John Brown? You're going to be getting Stephon Gilmore, pretty much the best corner in the game. I don't see much separation happening over there. I don't see many successful catches happening on Gilmore's island. So with that being said, Patriots win this game. Don't change anything on offense. Keep doing what you're doing. Pressure Allen. Force him to stay in the pocket. Force him to throw from the pocket. For the Bills, Allen needs to be efficient throwing the ball. Take shots down the field. Defensive line needs to pressure Brady. Key matchup in this game. I'm looking forward to seeing Josh Gordon versus Tre'Davious White. Pretty solid matchup right there. Mismatch Bills offensive line versus the pass front seven. That pass front seven, this is one of the best defenses in the league after 3 weeks. That being said, I'm taking the Pats 27-10.
Well, Nick, I think you're right about the outcome, but, you know, you keyed up on the New England keys to victory. I think you were right about Buffalo's keys to victory. You know what New England's keys to victory are. They got to show up. Buffalo's keys to victory, man, they got to run the ball, control the line of scrimmage, keep Brady off the field. Brady's down some weapons on the offensive line, too. This Buffalo defense is not nothing to sleep on. However, you know, with both teams being undefeated, I think we need to give respect to Buffalo, the way they're put up. You know, good key stats, and they're just not allowing other teams offensively to be able to get into much of a rhythm. Buffalo will lose this one, however, at home, 31-21 to the Patriots, because the Patriots are a machine that is hard to stop. Now, moving on, we got KC at Detroit. Man, KC's undefeated, but Detroit's also undefeated too. So this is KC's 3-0, Detroit's 2-0-1. So in this one, Nick, I'm just going to give you the score. I'll let you analyze it all you want. I got KC winning this one, 27-24. Could even go to overtime. Matt Stafford, the only thing he's listed as questionable. Obviously, he's going to play. I don't ever remember Matt Stafford missing a game hardly. I mean, he's been Brett Favre in that way. But obviously, if he can't play, I don't even know. That's one team I don't know who Matt Stafford's backup is. But as long as he plays, it'll be, you know, 3-point game.
All right. Interesting game, but here's the thing. Lions secondary, who do you know in their secondary? You know, Darius Slay. You know, Tracy Walker at free safety. I say, you know, Tracy Walker free safety. I did say that. The only reason why you know that, because when you look at the Lions depth chart, you see his name back there. Quandre Diggs, pretty solid. Justin Coleman, got paid like one of the top nickel corners in the game, but sorry. So what does that spell? What does this mean? This means trouble. There's going to be trouble. Yes. Chiefs, keys, just attack the middle of this Lions secondary. Just, you know, Sammy Watkins and Darius Slay. Slay's going to be matched up on Watkins pretty much most of the game. But the problem is Chiefs have so many weapons. Robinson, Hardman, just so much speed on that outside. Watkins probably going to be moving into the slot a little bit, moving them around. For the Lions to win this game, they have to cover well. Coleman, Slay, they need to not get beat deep. Same go for Tracy Walker. And also for the Lions to actually have a chance again is Caron Johnson. He needs 30-plus carries in this game. Control the clock, pound the ball with him. And the mismatch in this game I can't wait to see is T.J. Hockenson versus Anthony Hitchens. He is one of the worst cover linebackers in the league. You know, if Matt Patricia is, you know, he learned one thing from Bill Belichick. Yeah, take advantage of mismatches, and he will in this game. So with that being said, Chiefs win this game 42-27.
Man, well, you got to be in a little bit of an ass drubbing, but that's all good. Next is your Oakland Raiders, man. So if you're ready for the Oakland Raiders, and you let me know, man. Fans out there, you ready for the Oakland Raiders? No! It's all right, though. In this one, they play the Colts. The Raiders play the Colts, and the Colts are 2-1. Raiders are 1-2 coming into this one. Nick, let's just be honest, man. As long as Jacoby Brissett continues to play with the efficiency that he has, it's pretty much a wrap. I know that it is the case that T.Y. Hilton, is pretty much questionable coming into this one, and that Darius Leonard is out. If T.Y. Hilton doesn't play, I do give the Raiders a slight chance to win this one in a very close game, but otherwise, I have the Colts win this one 23-16 over the Raiders.
All right, Raiders, Colts. I want to say the Raiders have a good shot to win this game if they all come to play. I mean, if they play like Raider football, if John Gruden's supposed to be this offensive guru, to study film, watch film, he should have a game plan where Josh Jacobs gets the ball in this game 25 plus carries. Seriously, man. Behind that offensive line, huge offensive line, that's what they need to do. For the defense side of the ball, they got to get pressure. If they don't get pressure on Brissett, it's lights out, it's a wrap. They got to be able to stop the running game. I got blown off the last week. I mean, they just got shredded by Cook. I mean, that defensive line looked like punks. I mean, you remember House Party Part 1? 4-4, shout out to 4-4. You know what I smell? I smell pussy. That's what I smell. That's what I smell with the defense line last week when them Vikings offense linemen were just mean mugging them, throwing the back on the ground. They just looked at them, stayed out, pussy. I mean, that's basically what happened. So with that being said, Raiders this week, they're not going to do what I'm telling them to do because John Gruden wants to just be just over creative, just trying to just tear up the game plan, the simple game plan to actually win this game. We want to do it this week. Raiders will lose this game. All right. Carolina Panthers at Houston Texans. Keys for Carolina Panthers. Allen, Kyle Allen looked great last week. The rookie had a solid game. I mean, actually, second-year player had a solid game last week. He should be able to exploit a weak Texans secondary. We all know the weakness on that secondary. Texans secondary is Jonathan Joseph up there in age. He's been getting exploited a lot this year. This Panthers defensive line should have a field day against a weak Texans offensive line. For the Texans to win this game, get the ball nonstop, man. Just throw the ball 15 times to DeAndre Hopkins. I know he's got to be pissed off. Last couple weeks, he actually has been held in check, which is very unlikely to actually happen 2 weeks in a row. But DeAndre Hopkins, one of the best receivers of the game, actually has been checked. So he's going to be hungry for the ball this week. And also for the Texans defensive line, the front seven, they just got to get after Kyle Allen last week. The Cardinals didn't really get after him too much in this game. Actually, the matchup I'm looking forward to seeing, DeAndre Hopkins versus Deontay Jackson. That should be a solid matchup. But the mismatch is Brian Burns or Mario Addison versus Centrell Henderson. Henderson is one of the worst tackles in the league. That being said, I think the Panthers can win, but I'm going to go with the Texans at home. Can never count out Deshaun Watkins. Texans win 31-28.
Well, Neek, I'm not giving your Panthers as much of a chance to win here. I think they're 1-2, but I also think that the Texans are one of the better teams in the league right now. So I got the Texans winning this one 28-20, actually in a close game. Kyle Allen playing another outstanding game, but definitely getting outdueled by an experienced signal caller and Cam Newton, and Deshaun Watson getting the job done, as we already talked about. Cam Newton may be out for a while. But then I'm going to move right along to the Chargers at the Dolphins. We all know right now that the Dolphins are tanking for Tua, whoever may be the most attractive quarterback suitor in this year's 2020 draft. However, I think Miami might be competitive against the Chargers. Chargers have been struggling a little bit, but Phillip Rivers, definitely getting one of his favorite weapons back in Melvin Gordon. So the Chargers are 1-2, but they're definitely going to bounce back against the Dolphins. Don't get me wrong. I wasn't trying to allude to the Dolphins having a chance to win this game at 0-3. They will be going 0-4. I got this one ending 34-20 with the Dolphins putting out their best performance.
Yeah, for the Chargers game, we already know Jackson's out, the running back's out. Look for Chargers to pound Eckler in this game. Defensively, they're going to get after Josh Rosen. The mismatch in this game, Bosa, Ingram, IB boys, they're going up against Jesse Davis and Isaiah Prince, man, that's just ugly. That's a mismatch all day. They should have a field day. Moses should have 2.5 sacks, and Ingram should have 1.5 sacks or 2.5 sacks apiece. Actually, they both can have 3. They can have 4. They can have 5. It could be Bird King. Have it your way. You know, for the Dolphins, Rosen needs to air it out. Just take shots, man. Just have fun with this playbook. You know, this team's not going to go anywhere. Just, you know, have fun with it, you know, seriously. But good matchup to do watch is Keenan Allen versus Casey Hayward. That should be a good matchup in this game. With that being said, I'm taking the Chargers 34-10. All right, my New York Giants the Washington Redskins travel to take on my New York Giants this week. Keys for the Redskins, Casey Keenum, you got to limit the turnovers, man. I mean, you've been too turnover prone. You've been pretty much like that your whole career. So I don't think that's going to stop this week. I do look for him to throw a pick, even though the Giants secondary has been pretty crappy. But second half last week, I got to give them props. They were down 28-3. They actually came out playing physical defense, start covering, press coverage. So they actually stepped it up in the second half of that game. Keys for the Giants. Daniel Jones, keep doing what you're doing. Wayne Gallman, it's your call. Time for you to get the ball. I know you've been talking about to the media. You've been preparing for this for 3 years. Well, come on out. That's what you can do, man. Run hard. Just give him the rock. I mean, Sherman, man, don't be trying to do too much. Just give him the ball, 20-plus carries in this game. And also for the Giants defense, for some turnovers, key matchup in this game. Terry McLaurin, I know he's on the injury report with a hamstring issue. The rookie going against DeAndre Baker. I want to see that matchup right there. With that being said, mismatch of this game, watch out for fantasy. Darius Slayton, if the Giants can get him lined up against Josh Norman, mismatch. Norman, I know, is supposed to be one of the best corners of the game, but he can't handle speedy guys. With that being said, Giants win 38-34.
Now, Nick, you know that the Redskins don't have no chance of winning this game. They're 0-3. I think some of them dudes in the locker room, man, you know, we in the millennials or millennials trade request era. So Jalen Ramsey be like, I want to go see my baby mama more. I need to play around Tennessee or somewhere in that area, you know, maybe even like a Cincinnati or no. But anyway, man, in this one, look, Washington, again, they're ready to get their coach out of there. I mean, say what you will. I'm sure there's some guys that's ready to play their game. Case Keenum's going to go out there. He's going to put it on the line for him because, for whatever reason, Case Keenum and Jay Gruden, they obviously have a great relationship. Well, you know, they say the captain goes down with the ship. Jay Gruden going down with that ship, man. Like I reported earlier in the show, man, Jay Gruden's time in Washington is over. It's not number. It's not a question of if he's going to get fired. He's going to get fired. It's when he's going to get fired. And he should have went ahead and just played Haskins, who they drafted, what, it was 15, 17 overall?
He should have played him,
so that
would have
bought him time.
No, you don't put Haskins in there for him to fail.
Get beat up. Yeah,
no, not to fail behind one of the worst offensive
Because
you're going to
be fired anyway. You might as well buy yourself some time. It's all about survival, bro.
Nah, bro, you can't throw him in the fire, especially.
That's what you say, but no, he could have gave
him a start. Listen. The reason why the Giants threw Jones is there because the offensive line is solid. The Redskins right now, no Trent Williams. He hasn't reported yet. You have Eric Flowers in there starting. You have an old-ass Donald Penn who's about 35, 36 years old. Come on, Rude.
Do y'all have Adrian Peterson? Y'all got to make
it. It don't matter. Adrian Peterson, he ain't done nothing yet.
I mean, what's up with Reed, though? That's the real question because that would help. Obviously, they got Vernon Davis. They got some people around him who he can distribute the ball to. But we're going to move along because I got the Redskins losing this game. I got Gruden losing his job. I ain't one of them analysts who's scared to say that a man needs to lose his livelihood as a professional coach because I'll take your job if you're not going to do it right, brother. All right, so 25-17, the Giants. You know, getting another victory over the Redskins. We're going to move along to these 4 o'clock games. Seattle is going to beat Arizona. I got an upset here. Arizona is winless, but they've had a tie. So Arizona's 0-2-1. Seattle's 2-1. This is obviously a divisional match. I got Arizona winning this one 24-20, shockingly, because Kyler Murray's been playing good. I think he's just going to outdo Russell Wilson this one, period.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you on that, but as much as I want to go with them, I'm going with Seattle. I mean, last week they got embarrassed last week. They got to get back to do what they're doing. Carson, he fumbled the ball. I mean, he had some turnovers. But the reason why I gotta go see all this game because that Cardinals secondary is garbage. I mean, it is straight garbage.
Without
I mean, Byron Murphy, you know, he's a rookie. That's a nice matchup. I do want to see DK Metcalf versus him. That should be a solid. But the mismatch is Jadeveon Clowney going up against Murray, the right tackle. I mean, I just think they're going to feast on this porous Cardinals offensive line. And I think Murray's going to be throwing the ball to have a couple turnovers in this game. So, with that being said, I'm taking Seattle 28-24. All right, Tampa Bay at the Rams in this game. Keys for the Bucks. Jameis Winston, man, keep doing your thing, man. You actually starting to come around a little bit. That's cool. But you're going up against Rams defense that loves to feast. Fowler, I think he's going to have 2 sacks in the game. Donald probably going to have 3. Brocker's probably going to have 2. I think the Rams in this game will have about 9 sacks. I really do because that Bucks offensive line is pretty porous. And if my Giants can have 5 sacks, think about what a defensive line with Donald, Fowler, and Brocker's going to do in this game. For the Rams, I mean, they got to get this offense going. I mean, it's crazy. They went up against the depleted Browns secondary. They couldn't really do anything. Cooks had a solid game, Cup. But they got to get Gurley going, got to get the running game going, Brown as well. But with that being said, it's enough. I think the Rams win this game 31-14.
So, yeah, I mean, you touched on a lot of the key points. I think one of the big things here is the pass rush pressure. And I think one of the things that right now with this 1-2 Tampa Bay Buccaneers teams, who's one of my, like, they're one of my junior teams. So they're not one of my couple teams that I like, but they're one of my cities that I support. So I fucks with their team, you know what I'm saying? So for Tampa in this game, Shaquille Barry got 8 sacks leading the league, Nick. That's a stat that you cannot deny. So when you talk about getting pressure, getting after the QB, you talk about Jameis being a lame duck. He is. Don't get me wrong. He's looking for crab legs after he gets sacked. But I mean, I think that, Jared Goff is just as much of a sitting target. Now, it is in L.A., so, you know, I think Jared Goff balls out quite a bit more there. L.A. Rams going to win this one pretty easily, 27-20. But watch out for Shaquille Barry, man. He'll get after Jared Goff.
All right, Vikings and Bears, this is probably the lowest scoring game of the week. It could turn around and be a shocker, but both of these defenses are legit. I don't see Cousins throwing no more than 150, maybe 160 yards. Same thing with Trubisky. I think he's going to have a couple turnovers. The bottom line is this, which offensive line can protect this quarterback? Which team can limit the turnovers? And the game is Chicago. This Bears defense is going to be hungry. Too many more. They have more playmakers on their side of the ball, defense side of the ball, than the Vikings do. I'm going to take the Bears in this game. Close game, 17-13.
Hey, I got the Bears 24-21 in this one. Bears are 2-1. The Vikings are 2-1. Obviously, this is an in-division game. Big game here. What I want to see here is what I want to see every week, Nick. I'm very predictable. Who can run the ball? Is it young Mr. Montgomery or is it Daquan Cook? Or excuse me, is it Cook? And I think that you will see, Cook come out here and be a little bit more dominant. But, you know, Trubisky, I think he's going to be efficient. Moving along, Nick, what's the last game in the 4 o'clock slot is the Jacksonville-Denver game. I think we got a little bit of a, disagreement here. I have Jacksonville 1-2 against 0-3 Denver, winning 23-17. What you got, Nick?
I'm going to go with the Broncos because I don't see the Jags giving Fournette 20-plus carries in this game because if you got 20-plus carries, they have a good chance to win this game. And it's in Denver. Denver's actually been playing solid the last couple weeks, Broncos 2017. All right, Sunday night game, Cowboys at the Saints. Can the Cowboys keep it going? Yeah, if they attack a weak Saints secondary, mismatch in this game is Amari Cooper versus Eli Apple. If they can get Cooper lined up against Eli Apple, that's easy all day. Best matchup of the game, Michael Thomas versus Byron Jones. With that being said, I'm still taking the Saints 34-31.
You keep oversimplifying it, Nick. You keep saying weak Saints secondary, and Eli Apple's actually been balling out a little bit. You just mad because he don't play for the Giants no more. Cooper's at about 60%. I'm not sure if he's going to play. He's dealing with some injury issues. Obviously, the Cowboys are 3-0. It's hard to go against them here. Man, I really think the Saints have a great chance to win this game. It's really going to be about what that defense can do in creating turnovers and sacks and their special teams because that's what they did last week when Bridgewater was a starter. They need to continue that, but the Cowboys are looking hard to beat right now. I'm looking for them to stay undefeated, beating the Saints 28-21. We also got this Monday night game, and, you know, that's more of my up north division, you know, in the north. So in the north, almost like Toronto Raptors, Cincinnati Bengals at the Pittsburgh Steelers. Both teams are 0-3. Mason Rudolph, the starter for the Steelers, and then consistently Andy Dalton, not consistently great, but consistently average at least, the starter for the Bengals. So Mason Rudolph again. Yeah.
Basically, it's Andy Dalton versus Mason Rudolph. I mean, if you're really excited for some Monday Night Football, there you go, fans. That being said, who can limit the turnovers in this game? I think the Steelers at home. Mason Rudolph showed me a little bit more than Andy Dalton. I like their offensive line better. Can't stand the Bengals offensive line. That being said, Steelers win 24-17. On that note, see you guys next week for week 5. Take care, fans.